We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Welcome into a special edition of One Royal Way here on Kansas City Sports Network, brought to you by M-Prize Bank. I'm Joel Penfield. Josh and Jordan were not able to make it here. This was got thrown together at the last minute, but we could not be more excited to have Royals general manager JJ Piccolo on the phone with us for a quick 20 minutes leading up to opening day, 6 days away now as of recording. JJ, how are you doing?
Doing well. Just counting the days down until we get to opening day. So everything's going really well.
Good. I'm glad. It's been a fun off season to follow. It's been a good spring training. It's nice to watch ball games again, and we're getting that much closer to opening day at Kauffman Stadium. With your first full season now under your belt as the general manager of the team, what do you think was the most difficult lesson that you learned last season during that stretch, and how you're going to take that into this season?
Yeah, there are a lot of lessons learned. It was obviously a really difficult year, and I could point to a lot of different things. But more than anything, I think what became very apparent early in the season is that you never have enough depth in your system. We unfortunately went through a series of injuries and setbacks with our starting pitching, and we just didn't have the replacements ready, to compete at the level we wanted to compete last year. So I learned a lot about the importance of depth, and that's really what motivated our off-season planning. Now that we're here about to open the season, a lot of difficult decisions that are being made, difficult discussions, because guys that, had been on the club and expected to be on the club are not now, and we're very sensitive to that. But it all goes back to the importance of having depth to be able to compensate for injury, poor performance, whatever it may be. And that was the number one thing I learned, and learned it very quickly last year.
One of the reports that was very interesting to us as we started to assess some of the free agent moves that came in was Ken Rosenthal reporting that Will Smith, one of the first guys you guys signed this offseason, was kind of acted as a recruiter in ways to get a guy like Chris Stratton and talk to other free agents to come to Kansas City. What did that mean to you that a guy that you had prior knowledge of because he came up in the organization prior to getting traded to Milwaukee, that he would be such a big proponent early on in free agency for you guys to talk to other guys to get them to come here, obviously kind of coming off of a tough year?
Yeah, well, number one, I mean, the fact that Will had been here before and the fact that he wanted to come back, I think says a lot about our culture, our environment. Players like playing here, playing for the organization, in the city of Kansas City. So that was a clear message when Will was wide open to coming back. But obviously Will's personal successes, the three World Series in a row, that's quite unique. I think he's the only guy that's ever done that, three different teams. I think the respect that the league has for him, the reputation he has in the clubhouse as a leader, as a competitor, it's well known. It's well documented, and guys talk around the game about who are the toughest guys out there and who do you want to be in the foxhole with. So when we made the decision to try to go after Will first, we couldn't have predicted what was about to happen over the course of that week. But we knew that he believed in our vision. He believed in talent we had on the team. He believed we could compete within our division. And it really echoed everything that we had already shared with guys that we were actively trying to sign as a free agent. But to get a player of his stature on board and making calls to players just made that week flow a lot faster. And it really got us to it gave us a lot of clarity. By the end of that week and into the following week, we had several free agents signed. Our roster looked different and allowed us to think about other things to get through the offseason, when we got back from the holiday. So it was a really important sign. I wish I could tell you that something like that's going to happen every year, but I think it was unique. Will's a leader. He has no problem picking up the phone. And he wants to win. And that was something that was really clear in his messaging to us and to the other players. And whether it was Stratton, whether it was Frazier or Renfro or Waka or Lugo, they all want to win too. So they have a common goal. And it's really nice when it comes from a player as opposed to a front office member trying to tell a player we want to win. When it's coming from another player and he believes in what we're doing, it went a long way for us.
One of the storylines that we talked about with all of these free agents that were signed. One, it was a very welcome sight to see the Royals be so active in free agency, but it felt like there was a concerted effort to raise the floor of the roster significantly by adding veterans that have been around the block. You kind of know what you're going to get from them and help stabilize the roster to surround the young guys with that veteran presence. Are we kind of on the right track in that assessment, or are we maybe underselling what these guys can bring to the 2024 team and beyond?
No, you are on the right track. And last year was a year that we were going to commit to playing a lot of young players. And with that, at the end of the year, you evaluate where we're at. Who do we think is ready to compete in the major leagues on an everyday basis? And then where are your holes? And then what type of people, not only talent, but what type of people do you want in the clubhouse? And, we did want to raise the floor. We want to raise the expectations. The guys that are on the club that have been here a year or two, they've not experienced winning at the major league level. So when they get around, not just, one guy can swing it a little bit, but when you get a group of guys that have all played in the playoffs, I think every one of them has played in the playoffs at varying levels, but they have levels meaning, off the bench or, getting outs in the ninth inning in the World Series. When you get a group of guys like that, it can really impact not only this year, but moving forward, because when Bobby gets into his third and fourth and fifth and sixth year in the major leagues, there's lessons he's going to learn. When Vinny gets to that point, there's lessons going to learn. Brady, so it has a lasting effect on the team, and we're trying to develop that winning mentality. And the guys we brought in are winners. So it's gonna help right now, and it's going to help in the future for sure.
One of the moves that was so spectacular last season was the trade for Cole Reagans. And obviously when you trade for a player like him, you believe in him and you know that he could be a part of the future. But even in your most optimistic scenarios, did you envision that Cole Reagans could be this type of starter and what he was for the team down the stretch of the year and what he potentially could be, that top of the rotation ace that this team really hasn't had in quite a while?
Well, I'd be lying to you if I told you that we knew that was going to happen. We knew he was good. We really liked him. There's no doubt. And we saw him as a starter, as did Texas. Texas was just backed up with starters. So I like to think that we just pinpointed a club, and luckily they had interest in Chapman, so it matched. So their needs and our needs coincided, and Cole was somewhat expendable. It wasn't that it was easy to pry him from them, but then to see not only what he did on the field with his performance, but to watch him work and watch him prepare and to talk to him and listen to the intelligence factor and the baseball IQ, we realized we might have something a little bit better than what we thought. And then the performance, it's very eye opening. It's pitcher of the month in the American League. So it worked out, far better than we had expected. We did acquire him to be in the rotation, but to be our opening day starter, here, however many months later, 8-9 months later, I couldn't tell you with a straight face that that's what we expected, but luckily that's what we've got.
And the other move this offseason as well, we'll talk about 2024 and beyond here in just a moment, but it goes without saying that locking up Bobby Wood Jr. to the extension was a huge deal for fans and the organization, but how big of a deal was it to get him locked up as the corner piece of this organization? And then what becomes the next step in evaluating other extension candidates on the roster to try and keep some of this young core together?
Yeah, well, it was a monumental signing for us. I mean, it's historic in the game. It's historic for the Kansas City Royals to extend a contract like that to a player. It's not been done. And a lot of credit needs to go to our ownership group for the commitment they've made. John Sherman was emphatic that he wanted to pursue this really back to last spring training. You know, Bobby wasn't quite as proven as he was by the end of the year, but you know, that was a discussion that John and I had last year at this time. So there was always a desire on his part. And then, you know, from my perspective, it's like, okay, what's it going to take? And are we willing to go to the length that it may take to get the deal done? Fortunately, Bobby really likes playing in Kansas City. He believes in the vision of the organization. As we were going through the offseason, what we did in December, I think, really influenced Bobby's interest because he was seeing a commitment from the organization to win and win at the highest level. I know that was part of his process that was important. But, you know, ultimately we had two willing parties to sit down and try to come to an agreement that was advantageous to the player and advantageous to the organization. And we were able to come to a deal. And it was a very unique experience. Proud of what we've done and proud of Bobby for wanting to be here. And I think it does give us a roadmap, so to speak, on who else we want to extend, because I know there's players on our club right now that I think the jury is still out as far as, you know, what the dollars may look like, but we know what they're like as baseball players. So we want to be open-minded to it. The more we can secure talent that's going to win at the highest level, the more we need to do it, you know? So it's, you know, it's something that we're constantly thinking about, talking about, planning for. And it's really, you want to maintain some level of payroll flexibility, because when a team's about to win, you need to have some flexibility to go acquire the guy that puts you over the top. And I've said this, you know, publicly quite a few times that, you know, I don't think it's going to be the norm that we're signing 7-8 free agents every year. This just happened to be a year that we needed to do it. But that's where we need to be elite in our draft processes, our international signings, our development processes, because the more leaked we can be in that area, the less you have to lean on free agency. But it's going to be a part of the game. It always has been. We just like to take advantage of it when we can kind of put the icing on the cake as opposed to trying to make the cake. So this year we're trying to make the cake. So, but it's exciting, and we do have players that we would be interested in talking to, or at least start formulating, you know, how we go about this to arrive at an extension at whatever point of time that takes place.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of the narratives that our podcast and others that are, you know, like us, that either Royal cover the Royals or baseball nationally, one that we talk about quite a bit during spring training is how much do the stats matter, and like what we're seeing during games, how much does it factor in? So when it comes to either roster crunches, position battles, anything like that, how much do you weigh spring training performance versus previous track record? And I could use an example like what we've seen, maybe a Nelson Velasquez versus Nick Prado, or the fifth starter between Jordan Lyles and Alec Marsh that was kind of talked about this week. How do you weigh those performances, what we're seeing now versus what you previously seen?
Yeah. Well, past performances certainly need to play a part in this. What have you done in the major leagues during the regular season? That has to play a part in the evaluation process. Because if you're going off of a 35 to 50 at bat look, or a, you know, 10 to say 25 innings with starters in spring training, you know, you're really taking a snapshot in time. Where if you go back and look monthly at how guys performed from April until September, you're going to have peaks and valleys in those months as well. But at the end of the season, there's a body at work that we have to recognize, and it influences our decisions far more than spring training. That being said, guys get better, guys make changes in the offseason, and we have to use our instinct. We have to use what data is telling us to make a decision on, is this guy really what he looks like right now? And sometimes you make good decisions, sometimes you make bad decisions. But if we relied simply on spring training, we'd make more poor decisions over the course of time than if we relied more on past performances. So it is something right now that is in our everyday conversation, because we're making these final decisions on the roster. You know, it very much comes into play, and it's hard to unforget what you see for a month here. You know, it's just a recency bias. So it is a delicate balance, but I think the larger body at work is more influential in what the roster will look like opening day than what's happened in spring training.
So a good mix of both is kind of the correct way to look. So I guess we'll be overreacting or underreacting to spring training stats now and moving forward.
Yeah, no, there are players that clearly have great spring training. Year in, year out, there's players that have poor spring trainings year in, year out. We don't have any research that tells us that one is reflective of the other. You know, it's just not there. There's so much inconsistencies in that. But like I said, it's like over a 6-month season, you see it as well. Guys have great months, they have bad months, but it's not who they are as a player in that month that matters the most. It's who they are overall that matters and will dictate how long they play in the major leagues.
Have you been operating with any sense of urgency to compete? And maybe this is factors into the AL Central being a little more open than maybe some others in Major League Baseball, or is it kind of a steady as she goes, build something more sustainable? And how do you balance that? Because obviously you want to win, but how do you try and have that long view while still trying to compete this season, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the long-term goal is to compete year in, year out. You know, for a division, you win the division, you're in the playoffs every year, and anything can happen in the playoffs. We went through in 2014 being a wild card team. Anything can happen. You just got to kind of – you got to get to the dance, you know. So let's focus on getting to the dance. The easiest way to get to the dance is to win the Central. So now you try to combine that long-term goal and vision for the organization, for the city. You try to combine that with, all right, where are we right now in that timeline? So last year was a really tough year. So we do feel like we've made significant upgrades to the roster. We didn't go into this saying, hey, we got to make these upgrades because we have to win the Central next year. We went into it saying we have to be significantly better. Significantly better if it's 25 games better, we're a 500 team. You know, so, and that may get us in the playoffs. Who knows? You know, we don't know what our division's really going to be like. But the motivation wasn't because we thought the division went down. You know, we can look at it now and say, okay, how do we compare to the rest of the division? But at the time, it was, how do we get better? How do we put players around, whether it's Bobby or Michael or, you know, Isbell, MJ, Singer, all those guys we talked about for a number of years. How do we put players around them to make this team better so they become better players? And then you just got to, you know, sort of hold your breath that everybody stays healthy. As you already said, you know, we expect the free agents to perform at a certain level. There should be more consistency with the team because we have those free agents and they've been in the league for a number of years. But the real telltale on how we're going to compete and potentially compete for a division title is going to be in the steps that many players take this year to get better. If they're able to incrementally get better over the course of the season, I would expect our win total will go up. And then obviously health comes into play. So, you know, it is, we want to compete. Like none of us go to the ballpark, whether you're a fan or a front office member or coach, none of us go there, you know, not caring if we win. Like we go to bed at night with the losses. We sleep a lot better with the wins. So that's why we're in this game. We're competitors. We want to win. So it's not fun when you're losing. But you also have to be realistic in where are we on that timeline. I think we can make a significant jump. How many wins we'll have relies on a lot of different things that I just mentioned. But I know that from a mindset standpoint, from being around these guys in spring training, it feels far different. And I would we're going to compete at a higher level, and we'll win more games this year. And that's the plan. And, you know, then ultimately, if we can reach that goal of, you know, winning the Central and getting into the playoffs, now how do we do it again next year? You know, you're never going to be satisfied. You know, last year, the Texas Rangers won the World Series. They're trying to figure out how to get better. You know, they want to get better. It never ends. And so it's a short-term and long-term vision that we have, but ultimately it's something we want our fans to be proud of, and we want people coming out to the ballpark because they're excited about our team.
That's fantastic. One last question here for you, JJ, before we get you out of here. And I like to do baseball history questions kind of to end some of these interviews. So if, you know, put yourself in the batter's box and you get to stand 60 feet, 6 inches away from any pitcher in Major League history, just to see their stuff. I'm not asking you to get a hit off the guy, but whose stuff would you want to see from the batter's box? Any pitcher ever?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I've never been asked that question. That's a tough one. You know, I think it definitely would be somebody with higher velocity and somebody with a really good breaking ball, you know, just to see what that looks like. And I was a right-handed hitter, so I'm trying to think of a right-handed pitcher. And you know, the first guy that comes to mind is really Roger Clemens. I mean, that's the one that comes to mind. I mean, early on it was a breaking ball, then he mixed in a splitter, and he wasn't afraid to throw inside. I mean, there's so many things that he did. That would probably be the one that I would pick. Let's think about that one a little more, but that's the one that comes to mind.
I love that. That's an answer that I haven't gotten before. It's always like Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson are usually the two that I always see. So Roger Clemens, I'll add that one to the docket as well.
Now, Randy went through my mind, but then when I factored in right-handed, I had to think of a right-handed pitcher. But I could see why people would say either Nolan or Randy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, JJ, this has been fantastic. Thank you very much for your time. I know how busy you are wrapping up spring training less than a week from opening day. So we really do appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully we get to do this again soon.
Sounds good, Joel. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. That was JJ Piccolo. We appreciate you guys. And we'll talk to you next week as we get closer to opening day.